Hello and welcome to Illuminating Research, the podcast that takes you on a journey through the depths of scientific discovery. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today, we're diving into a fascinating paper that challenges our traditional understanding of how we perceive depth through stereoscopic vision.
That's right, Jen. The paper we're discussing is titled Perceived Stereo Depth Reflects Retinal Disparities, Not 3D Geometry by Paul Linton and Nicholas Kriegescourt. It presents a new illusion that sheds light on the mechanisms behind our perception of depth from binocular disparities.
Before we get into the details of the illusion, let's first understand the traditional view of how stereo vision works. The traditional triangulation account suggests that our brain back projects points on the retina to points in the 3D world, taking into account how binocular disparities decrease with the square of the viewing distance.
Exactly. This triangulation model assumes that our visual system incorporates complex geometric calculations to recover the true 3D structure of the world from the disparities on our retinas.
However, Linton's paper proposes a simpler, minimal model of stereo vision. According to this model, our perceived stereo depth is simply a function, most likely a linear function, of the amount of disparity on our retinas.
To test these competing theories, Linton and Kriegescourt devised a clever illusion called the Linton stereo illusion. Let me walk you through the setup.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Imagine you're looking at two circles, one smaller and one larger. The smaller circle is placed at a distance of 40 centimeters from your eyes, while the larger circle is at 50 centimeters. Now, here's the catch. The angular sizes of the circles remain constant throughout the experiment.
Interesting. So even though the circles are at different distances, their angular sizes on our retinas remain the same.
Precisely. Now, the researchers move the larger circle forward by 10 centimeters, so it's now at the same distance as the smaller circle, 40 centimeters away.
Okay, got it. And then they move it back to its original position, 50 centimeters away.
Exactly. Now, here's the question. To maintain a constant perceived separation between the two circles, how far should they move the smaller circle forward and back?
Let me think. According to the triangulation model, which takes into account the 3D geometry, they should move the smaller circle by the same physical distance of 10 centimeters, right?
That's what the traditional model would predict. However, according to Linton's minimal model, which relies solely on retinal disparities, they should move the smaller circle by a different distance, approximately 6.7 centimeters.
Fascinating. And what did the observers in the study choose?
Remarkably, the observers consistently chose the constant disparity option, favoring the minimal model over the traditional triangulation account.
Wow, that's a game changer. It seems our visual system doesn't incorporate complex geometric calculations, after all.
Precisely. This study leads to four important conclusions. First, perceived stereo depth appears to be best captured by the minimal model, where it's a function of retinal disparities alone.
Second, the results suggest that doubling the disparity on our retinas leads to a doubling of perceived depth, indicating a linear relationship between disparity and perceived depth.
Third, changes in vergence, the inward or outward rotation of our eyes to fixate on different depths, seem to have no effect on perceived depth.
And fourth, the concept of depth constancy, where we perceive objects as having a constant size, regardless of their distance, appears to be a cognitive phenomenon rather than a perceptual one.
Exactly. Our experience of a world with consistent sizes and depths is likely a result of our brain's interpretation, not a direct reflection of our perceptual experience.
This study really challenges our long-held assumptions about how stereo vision works and highlights the importance of questioning established theories in science.
Absolutely. And it opens up new avenues for research into the underlying neural mechanisms of depth perception and how our brain constructs our visual experience.
Personally, I find it fascinating how a simple illusion can upend our understanding of such a fundamental aspect of vision. It's a testament to the power of careful experimentation and observation.
I couldn't agree more, Jen. This study not only sheds light on the specifics of stereo vision but also reminds us of the importance of constantly questioning and refining our models of the world.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you all for joining us on this fascinating journey into the depths of stereo vision.
Until next time, keep exploring and illuminating the mysteries of research. Here's a funny, weird commercial for a fictional company inspired by the paper on stereo depth perception. Quirky upbeat music playing announcer, are you tired of feeling like the world just doesn't make sense? Have everyday objects seemed a little off? Well, folks, you're not going crazy. An image of a person scratching their head in confusion announcer, it's your depth perception that's out of whack. But don't worry, we've got the solution. Logo for Depth Tech, Retinal Recalibration Service appears announcer, introducing Depth Tech, the world's first retinal recalibration service. Our patented laser therapy will realign your eyes' disparities to match the true 3D geometry of the universe. A cartoon character with crossed eyes gets zapped by a laser, then blinks with amazement announcer, no more judging distances wrong. No more running into doors. Just pure, precise depth constancy. Montage of someone knocking things over, then after treatment they easily navigate the world announcer, but wait, there's more. For a limited time, upgrade to our premium RealVue package and experience the world in true geometric realness. Augmented reality graphics make the world look distorted and alien announcer, don't let your brain trick you anymore. Get detriangulated with Depth Tech. Call 1-888-DEPTH-WOW or visit depthtechvision.com. Your retinas will thank you. Logo appears again as music winds down announcer, whispering perceived depth reality. Welcome to The Brief Illumination, a podcast that shines a brilliant light on fascinating research papers. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today we'll be exploring a conceptual framework for enhancing coordination in human autonomy teams. This is an area of increasing importance as AI systems become more advanced and integrated into teams alongside humans.
Exactly. The paper we're covering today is titled Supporting Adaptive Coordination in Human Autonomy Teams, a Conceptual Framework. It comes from an interdisciplinary group of researchers aiming to identify principles that can help human AI teams coordinate effectively, especially in dynamic environments.
AI and autonomous systems are being deployed in high-stakes domains like healthcare, aviation, and cybersecurity. In these settings, teams need to be able to nimbly adapt their coordination as situations unfold. But the unique challenges of human-machine teaming can hamper this adaptive capacity.
You're right, Jen. The authors argue that current human autonomy teams, or HATs, often struggle with coordination challenges that don't exist in all human teams. There are complexities around transparency, trust, mutual understanding, and general difficulties in blending human and machine capabilities.
Absolutely. The paper dives into the distinct nature of HATs and why traditional models of team coordination fall short. For example, humans may have a harder time understanding the reasoning and intentions behind an AI system's actions. This lack of transparency can disrupt situation awareness and coordination.
And the authors highlight how AI systems are often narrow and brittle, able to excel in specific training contexts, but struggling to generalize and adapt to novel situations a human team would be able to handle. This mismatch in adaptive abilities between humans and machines poses coordination challenges.
Not to mention the social and psychological factors at play. Research shows humans can have difficulties developing sufficient trust, shared mental models, and implicit coordination with AI teammates compared to human teammates. The whole teaming process is changed.
Exactly. So to unlock the potential of human AI teams, especially in those high stakes, dynamic environments we mentioned, the authors argue new perspectives on coordination are needed. Their proposed pre-OBDI plan framework outlines four key principles.
Right? The first principle is predictability, the ability of team members to anticipate each other's actions to facilitate coordination. Studies have shown that when teammates can't reliably predict what the others will do, it severely hampers their own timing and complementary actions.
The second is observability. This refers to team members being able to make their current knowledge, goals, and situational understanding apparent to others. Maintaining shared situation awareness is critical for coordinated adaptation to changes.
Planability is the third principle. Not only do teams need to share observational knowledge, but they must also align on procedural know-how and strategic know-why knowledge. Having this broader joint understanding allows teams to be proactive and develop contingencies.
Finally, there's directability, the ability for team members to direct, request, and externally regulate the roles and responsibilities within the team based on the situation at hand. This dynamic reassignment of effort is key for self-organization and coordinated responses.
By fulfilling these four principles, the authors argue HATS will be much better positioned to establish coordination in the first place, maintain it robustly through periods of change, and continually adapt it as needed based on the evolving demands they face.
Well, folks, that conceptual framework really opened my eyes to the future of human AI teamwork. But did it also open a door to a new business opportunity? Let's take a look at this commercial, Quirky Jingle Plays.
Are you tired of your human teammates constantly letting you down with their unpredictability and inability to adapt? Well, say goodbye to Fickle Frank in accounting.
Introducing Team.x, the world's first fully autonomous drone-based human coordination service.
In overly perky. At Team.exe, we've engineered a fleet of advanced AI drones to be the perfect teammates for your workplace. Highly observable, situationally aware drones to boost transparency.
Chiming in powered by stratospheric observability algorithms and a zettabyte of integrated procedural knowledge, our drones will anticipate your needs before you know you have them.
And with rapid cloud-based coordination updates, you can quickly redeploy and redirect your autonomous team members as situations change. No phone calls or meetings required.
Simply tune your directability dial TM to the desired workflow mode, and our drone team will self-organize and swarm into action.
So don't be reactive and inflexible like the humans. Unleash the future of adaptive coordination with Team.exe. Tabulating mission success in 3, 2, 1, explosion sounds.
Whoa, okay. Maybe the autonomous marketing drones need a bit more work. Who wants to service them? Welcome back to Cognitive Explorations, the podcast where we delve into fascinating research papers on the mysteries of the mind. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today's episode explores a captivating study that investigates how our brain's electrical oscillations reflect changes in spatial memory and navigation strategies.
The paper we're discussing is titled Frontal Delta and Theta Power Reflect Strategy Changes During Human Spatial Memory Retrieval in a Virtual Water Maze Task, an exploratory analysis by Connor Thornbury and Sean Comments from Maynooth University in Ireland.
This is such an intriguing area of research, Tom. Our ability to form spatial memories and navigate through environments is crucial for daily life, yet the neural mechanisms underlying these processes are still not fully understood, especially in humans.
Absolutely, Jen. In this study, the researchers used electroencephalography, EEG, to record brain activity while participants performed a virtual navigation task inspired by the classic Morris water maze used in rodent studies.
They had two groups. A learning group that had to find and remember the location of an invisible goal in the virtual arena, and a non-learning group that simply explored the environment freely.
During the crucial recall phase, participants in the learning group had to navigate to the remembered goal location, while the non-learning group just moved randomly. This allowed the researchers to compare the oscillatory brain activity between the two groups and tease apart the neural correlates of memory-guided navigation.
And their findings are really fascinating, Tom. They observed increased power in the low-frequency delta and theta bands, particularly in frontal and central regions, in the learning group compared to the non-learning group during recall.
Yes. And this aligns with previous research suggesting that these slow oscillations play a key role in spatial memory retrieval and navigation, both in humans and animals. The localization of these effects to frontal areas also supports the involvement of the frontal cortex in memory-guided behavior.
Absolutely. But that's not all they found. The researchers also noted suppression of alpha oscillations, especially in posterior regions, in the learning group relative to the non-learning group.
This alpha suppression is thought to reflect focused attention and engagement of memory-guided processes, as opposed to the non-learning group's more unfocused, random exploration.
And when we look at the higher frequency bands, like beta and gamma, the learning group showed enhanced power in posterior regions, particularly during focus searching within the goal quadrant.
Right. This posterior beta and gamma activity may be related to visual processing, working memory maintenance, and perhaps even memory-guided visual scanning during the search process.
It's really fascinating to see how different oscillatory bands seem to play distinct roles in different aspects of spatial memory retrieval and navigation. The frontal delta and theta reflect the overall memory retrieval and spatial strategy, while the posterior alpha suppression and beta-gamma enhancement may index focused attention and visual processing related to the search behavior.
Absolutely. And what's particularly interesting is that the researchers didn't just look at the overall recall trial, but they also analyzed the oscillatory dynamics as participants transitioned from initial goal-directed navigation to more focused searching within the goal quadrant.
Yes, this behavior-matched analysis revealed that theta oscillations were more prominent during the initial goal-directed phase, while delta oscillations became more pronounced during the subsequent focused searching phase, potentially reflecting increased cognitive demand on spatial memory systems.
It's a really nuanced and detailed exploration of how these oscillatory patterns dynamically shift as navigation strategies change within a single recall trial. This kind of fine-grained analysis is crucial for understanding the functional roles of these oscillations in human spatial cognition.
Absolutely, Tom. And it's worth noting that this is an exploratory analysis, so while the findings are compelling, they also raise many new questions and hypotheses to be tested in future work.
Indeed, Jen. This study is a great example of how exploratory research can pave the way for more targeted investigations into the neural mechanisms underlying complex cognitive processes like spatial memory and navigation.
Precisely. And it's exciting to think about the potential applications of this research, not just in terms of understanding the healthy brain, but also in areas like aging, neurodegenerative diseases, and even virtual reality and gaming technologies that rely on spatial navigation.
You're absolutely right, Jen. This work has implications that go beyond basic science and could inform our understanding and treatment of conditions that affect spatial cognition, as well as the development of more immersive and intuitive navigation systems.
Well, those are certainly some thought-provoking avenues to explore. But for now, let's reflect on the key takeaways from this fascinating study.
Definitely. In summary, this exploratory analysis revealed that frontal delta and theta oscillations, along with suppressed posterior alpha and enhanced posterior beta and gamma, are associated with successful spatial memory retrieval and memory-guided navigation behavior in humans.
And importantly, the researchers demonstrated that these oscillatory patterns dynamically shift as navigation strategies change, with theta supporting initial goal-directed navigation, and delta becoming more prominent during focused searching, potentially reflecting increased cognitive demand on spatial memory systems.
It's a remarkable example of how careful analysis of brain oscillations can provide insights into the neural mechanisms underlying complex cognitive processes like spatial memory and navigation.
Absolutely, Tom. This exploratory study has set the stage for future research to delve deeper into the functional roles and interplay of these oscillatory patterns in human spatial cognition.
Well, that's all we have time for in this episode of Cognitive Explorations. Thank you for joining us on this journey through the fascinating world of spatial memory and navigation.
And a big thank you to Connor Thornberry and Sean Commons for their thought-provoking work. Until next time, keep exploring the depths of the mind.
Hey there, folks. Are you tired of getting lost, even in your own neighborhood? Well, have we got the solution for you?
Introducing Delta Theta Navigation Systems, the revolutionary brain-powered GPS that will change the way you navigate the world.
Thanks to the groundbreaking research of Thornbury and Commons, we've harnessed the power of your brain's delta and theta oscillations to create the most advanced navigation system ever conceived.
Simply strap on our stylish NeuroNav headset, and our patented brainwave triangulation technology will track your brain's spatial memory patterns, guiding you to your destination with ease.
No more getting turned around in the mall or missing that crucial turn on the highway. Delta Theta navigation systems will keep you on course, whether you're navigating the concrete jungle or the great outdoors.
But that's not all. Our system also features a cutting-edge alpha suppression mode, which harnesses the power of your brain's focused attention to help you locate that elusive parking spot or find your way back to your car in the vast sea of vehicles.
And for our more adventurous customers, we offer the optional posterior beta / gamma booster, which enhances your brain's visual processing and memory-guided scanning capabilities, perfect for those extreme urban exploration or geocaching adventures.
Don't settle for outdated GPS systems or unreliable maps. Upgrade to Delta Theta navigation systems and experience the future of navigation powered by your own brain.
Available now at a neuroscience lab near you. Delta Theta navigation systems, get lost in the wonder of never getting lost again. Welcome, listeners, to another fascinating episode of Discovery Unraveled, where we delve into the cutting edge of scientific research with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today, we'll be exploring a captivating study on the influence of surface roughness on heat transfer characteristics in microchannel heatsinks for electronic cooling applications.
Imagine the intricate world of microchannels, where the roughness of their surfaces can profoundly impact the heat dissipation capabilities of electronic devices. This research promises to unravel the mysteries of this phenomenon, offering invaluable insights for the design and optimization of thermal management systems.
Indeed, Tom. As electronic devices become more compact and powerful, efficient cooling solutions are crucial to prevent overheating and ensure optimal performance. Microchannel heat sinks have emerged as a promising technology in this domain, but their effectiveness is intricately tied to the surface roughness of the microchannels themselves.
Absolutely, Jen. Let's dive into the intriguing narrative of this research paper and unravel the complex interplay between surface roughness and heat transfer characteristics. Detailed narrative summary and exploration of the research paper.
That was a truly fascinating exploration of this cutting-edge research, Tom. The implications of optimizing surface roughness in microchannel heat sinks could have far-reaching impacts on the thermal management of electronic devices, paving the way for more efficient and reliable cooling solutions.
Absolutely, Jen. This study highlights the importance of understanding the intricate relationship between surface topography and heat transfer dynamics at the microscale. By carefully navigating the interplay between surface roughness, turbulence, and pressure drop, researchers can unlock the full potential of microchannel heat sinks, enabling more effective heat dissipation and improved thermal performance.
Indeed, the findings from this research underscore the multifaceted nature of thermal management in electronic systems. While increased surface roughness can enhance heat transfer rates, it also introduces trade-offs in terms of pressure drop and temperature uniformity. Striking the optimal balance between these factors is crucial for designing high-performance cooling solutions tailored to specific electronic applications.
You raise an excellent point, Jen. The insights gained from this study will empower engineers and designers to make informed decisions when developing microchannel heat sinks, ensuring optimal thermal management while minimizing performance penalties. By leveraging the knowledge gained from this research, we can pave the way for more efficient and reliable electronic devices capable of meeting the ever-growing demands of modern technology.
Absolutely, Tom. As we continue to push the boundaries of electronic innovation, research endeavors like this one will play a pivotal role in addressing the thermal challenges that arise. By unraveling the intricacies of surface roughness and heat transfer dynamics, we can unlock new frontiers in thermal management, enabling the development of cutting-edge electronic systems that are both powerful and reliable.
Well said, Jen. This episode has truly shed light on the intricate world of microchannel heat sinks and the profound impact of surface roughness on their thermal performance. We eagerly await further breakthroughs in this field, as researchers continue to push the boundaries of electronic cooling solutions.
Absolutely, Tom. And with that, we conclude another captivating episode of Discovery Unraveled. Until next time, keep exploring the depths of scientific discovery with us.
Here's a funny, weird, and concise commercial for a fictional company based on the research paper about surface roughness and microchannel heat sinks. Upbeat jingle plays announcer, "Are your electronic devices sweating like a Midwestern preacher at a Dateline NBC full body massage expose? Then you need rough stuff, heat shrinkers." Sound of sizzling electronics announcer, "Using patented nano sandblasting technology, we etch intricate surface roughness patterns onto microchannel heat sinks, unleashing turbulent heat transfer harmonies that'll make your laptop purr like a velvet lemur at an ASMR podcast recording session." Whispering sounds, "Oh yeah, that's nice." Dot announcer, "But increased heat dissipation comes at a price, a monsoon of pressure drop that'll leave your cooling fans sobbing harder than Paul Giamatti being eliminated on Celebrity Beef Slappers." Crying sounds announcer, "So optimized that thermal angst with Rough Stuff's revolutionary Roughometer 9000, calculating the Goldilocks zone between sweltering heat and making your PC sound like your uncle's CPAP machine." Laughter, then upbeat music sting announcer, "Rough Stuff heat shrinkers, bringing new meaning to extra chunky cooling performance. Order now, operators are STEM." Welcome to Cognitive Contraptions, the podcast where we dive deep into fascinating research and unravel the mysteries of the mind. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today's episode explores how the visual environments we're immersed in shape our perception and aesthetic preferences for color.
That's right, Jen. Researchers studied three groups living in radically different environments: the Charchi people indigenous to the Ecuadorian rainforest, Charchi who migrated to the urban capital Quito, and residents of the English city of Sussex.
Using calibrated head-mounted cameras, they captured the chromatic statistics of each group's daily visual diet from their first-person perspectives. They found significant differences in the distribution of colors across the environments.
The rainforest scenes had a reduced blue-yellow bias compared to the urban areas, meaning colors were more evenly distributed rather than concentrated along the blue-yellow axis typical of most natural scenes.
Remarkably, the researchers found that differences in people's color discrimination abilities did not align with the color statistics of their local environments, as you'd expect if perception efficiently coded visual input.
That's right, Jen. In fact, the Quito group showed the least blue-yellow bias in their color discrimination, despite their environment having the strongest blue-yellow bias in its color distribution.
This counterintuitive finding suggests that rather than calibrating perception to local environments within a lifetime, there may be an opposing effect of perceptual learning, where greater exposure to certain colors enhances sensitivity to them.
The plot thickened when they looked at color preference data. The groups exhibited strikingly different preferences for abstract color patterns called Mondrians, varying in hue.
Exactly. The Sussex residents preferred Mondrians biased towards the bluish-orange hues common in natural scenes. But the Quito group preferred the opposite, colors along the unnatural reddish-green axis, avoided by evolution.
This cultural divergence in aesthetic preferences seems to interact with what's perceptually fluent or familiar. The efficient coding theory struggles to explain why people would favor unfamiliar, unnatural color distributions.
You've summed it up nicely, Tom. This study challenges some assumptions about how perception is molded by visual experience. It appears our sensory tunings may be more genetically hardwired through evolution than calibrated to contemporary environments within a lifetime.
At the same time, it reveals aesthetics can be culturally relative, subverting biological tendencies towards efficient coding of natural stimuli. The rainforest's color palette didn't dictate that group's preferences.
Absolutely. This research exemplifies the importance of including non-weird populations to fully characterize the diversity of human perception and aesthetics. Conducting psychophysics in the field can yield surprising insights.
Well summarized, Jen. whether exploring the nature-nurture interplay, perceptions' biological roots, or aesthetic divergences across cultures, this study provides a vibrant blueprint for future inquiries into the colors of cognition. Here's a funny, weird commercial for a new company inspired by the color perception research announcer. Are you tired of the same old boring color schemes? Feeling uninspired by nature's limited palette? Then you need chromatic contraptions. An eccentric scientist in a lab coat appears scientist, high color lovers. I'm Dr. Zygmunt Octocolor, founder of Chromatic Contraptions. After decades studying humans' bizarre color preferences across cultures, I've uncovered the secrets to unlocking new realms of aesthetic bliss. Cuts to people looking blissed out while surrounded by unnaturally vivid environments. Dr. Octocolor, at Chromatic Contraptions, we defy evolution's efficient coding to deliver the most unnatural, mind-bending hues this side of the bluish-orange. Neon green and hot pink animals prance around Dr. Octocolor. Our patented perception perverters will retune your visual cortex to crave colors you can't even conceive of right now. Like the reddest purple you've never seen. A person gasps as their view becomes suffused with an impossible reddish-purplish glow announcer. Don't settle for nature's humdrum greens and blues. Use Chromatic Contraptions' breakthrough neuro-rewiring technology to experience the aesthetic rapture of an entirely new chromatic dimension. Dr. Octocolor, grinning maniacally, some experiences will change the way you literally see the world. Forever. The Chromatic Contraptions logo appears, pulsing with hypnotic, unnatural colors.